Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and we're talking with faculty members from System 2011. System 2011 will be in New York City, April 15th through 17th. And before every system seminar, we do extended interviews with our faculty members so that you can, first of all, take away some stuff right away that you can apply to your business today. And two, so you can get to know our faculty members. We don't always necessarily go with celebrities or people that have big names or people who are well-known. Some of our friends are just happen to be well-known, happen to do great work consistently, people like Perry Marshall and folks like that. But then we have a lot of other people who speak at our events who, when they come to the system, aren't yet well-known in the internet marketing field. So we'd like to give you a chance to get to meet them and get to know them. I pick people based on who I think is doing the most interesting, progressive, forward-thinking work in the industry, regardless of their profile, high profile or not. So let's introduce a new faculty member to the system seminar, Talor Zamir.
Hey, Ken. How are you? Thank you.
I'm good. I'm really good. Talor's got a really interesting background in marketing, and we're going to spend some time talking about that because there's a lot of lessons to be learned. He's, I think, our youngest faculty member this year. You're 29?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, okay. just turning 30 in a few days.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, okay.
I'm getting old.
Yeah, it's a whole different world when you're 30. But Talor's been done quite a bit already, and his specialty, as what he's going to be talking about at our event, is the intelligent, effective use of webinars. Now, I know a lot of people are using webinars and are getting really good results, but as we're going to find out later in this call, Talor has made a real science of this. But before we talk about teleseminars and the best way to conduct them, I want you to get some appreciation of how he got to this point. In other words, these aren't just sort of random theories that he sort of cooked up and offered as advice. It's stuff learned from a lot of very interesting experiences that have led up to this point. I'm going to do a bit of a thumbnail, and then I'll ask you to flesh out some of the details. So you started actually in what I would call the belly of the beast on Wall Street, where I did. Had a similar reaction to Wall Street that I did, which is, oh my God, these guys are misguided, to put it mildly. But you were actually in one of the more interesting places in the last 10 years, which is on the mortgage-backed securities trading desk. And in 2000, which was a great job, let's face it, these guys made and are continuing to make fabulous sums of money. But in spite of that, and in spite of the glamour of it, and in spite of the temptation, to look the other way, you kind of ran some numbers way back in 2005 and came to the conclusion, what was your conclusion about mortgage-backed securities and the way they were trading and the logic of them?
Yeah, I actually ended up on the mortgage-backed trading desk as a trading assistant just by chance. You know, it's not like I even really chose to be there. But at the time, you know, I was young. I think I was about 23, 24, and I had read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, so I knew a little bit about real estate. Actually, on the weekends, I was driving to areas like Philadelphia that were a couple hours away that had cheap properties. So I was buying cheap properties and rentals. And so I knew a little bit about real estate. I was starting to dabble in real estate on the side around that time. And what I realized and what I noticed was that the traders and the other people I'm trading for, they didn't really understand the real estate market. They were just literally trading paper or the computer screen, whatever's flying across the computer screen there. That's really all they knew in those kind of analysis. And, you know, I was saying little things here and there, like, don't you guys think this is risky? Like, don't you think it's going to come down? Like, don't you think we're going to? And it was just like, oh, no, we're brokers. We just trade. We're not going to be affected by that kind of a thing, and very nonchalant. And they were making so much money that really no one really even cared to listen at the time.
Right. And, of course, everybody knows the end of that story. But you left. You realized that this was going to go on unchanged, and you decided that you weren't going to be part of it. But you also did something really intelligent, which is plot a few years ahead what the consequences were going to be of this kind of vast abstraction from reality. And what did you decide to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, I left there and did real estate investing full-time after that. That's when I left the trading floor. I knew, first of all, it was just a real grind, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day plus commuting, you know, 45 minutes an hour each way. It was just not what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, really. It wasn't that fun or interesting to me. So I started doing real estate on the side, and I was doing good, you know, with small properties here and there and making some money. But I knew that we were really at the peak of the market. Now, this was around mid 2005 that I left Wall Street and started doing real estate full time. And I knew that the market was really near the peak, so I started thinking, okay, how do you make money in a down market? And it's not as easy to make money in a down market as it is in an up market, but there still are some opportunities. And I started doing tons of research and learning and going to seminars and reading every book I could about short sales. And I got into short sales, and you know, my wife's family lived out in Vegas, which was a much greater quality of life than I was used to living in New York City. So we said, hey, let's go out there. There's going to be tons of short sales out there. No one's really doing them. And I was kind of one of the first people, or one of the first few people at least, to come out here and do that and really build up that business of real estate and doing short sales.
And then what happened, if I remember correctly, is that you were you had a busy business, and a lot of traditional brokers had no business at all, and they started asking you, hey, how do you do this? And you started teaching them.
Exactly. So that's exactly how I got into internet marketing. Actually, along the way, I was a coach and doing some coaching on the side, and then got actually picked up by the Tony Robbins company to be a speaker for them. So I was doing a lot of personal development and coaching and then speaking in a lot of real estate offices. It was actually really interesting because I was working for Tony Robbins, and I love Tony Robbins' work. It changed my life. So I was proud to be a speaker and, you know, enroll, go into sales offices of real estate teams and mortgage teams of 50, 60 people and, you know, enroll them into Tony's programs, and that was great. And what I kept hearing over and over, what people were saying was, people would come up to me and say, well, you know, I just got to close one more deal. I'm really struggling. The market's so tough right now. And they really needed that quick fix. And I started thinking to myself, well, you know, I'm making this money in real estate. This is the Tony Robbins thing I was doing just on the side, just speaking, you know, a few times a week, just because it was my passion. But I was doing real estate and having all the success. And that's kind of how I started getting into doing that and teaching that and eventually creating a program. And what I first thought I was going to do was be, you know, do the road show. And I, you know, be this, I don't know, I guess I thought I would be some, you know, big guru speaking on the stages and teaching everyone, you know, about real estate and short sales because, you know, it really was the most prevalent strategy and still is one of the most prevalent strategies at the time. So, but what I found, and this actually leads into, Ken, I know you love this part, what I found after just a couple of times of doing a live seminar and, you know, speaking live was that, you know, I wasn't getting as many, first of all, it was a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of energy, and I wasn't even getting as many people in the room as I could on a teleseminar or webinar. And that's mm-hmm. what led me into first teleseminars and eventually the progression into webinars, which is what I really focus on right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just love this as a background because, you know, just the depth of experience. And so this is, you know, Talor is somebody that's been in front of an audience, a live audience. And let's face it, if you can get a good live audience, that's the best selling environment possible. Problem is getting in front of that live audience. And, you know, usually it involves getting on a plane and traveling at least a few hundred, if not a few thousand miles. And you can't always count on the audience that you're going to get. And I guess if you're really tough and you really like Holiday Inn and you really like being in an aircraft half your waking day, maybe that's a good business. Gee, I think it's better to stay home and do it virtually. And then the other thing is it's getting harder for all of us to travel, seminar producers as well as seminar attendees. It's no mystery that flying is not the friendly skies that it used to be. And I don't know, maybe it's you know, Laura's turning 30. I've just passed the big 50. I'm just a lot less interested in, you know, going out physically and going to different cities and traveling and being under the gun that way. So from the provider's point of view, there's a lot of positive features, but also from the customer's point of view, from the student's point of view, this saves them tremendous expense, saves them a tremendous hassle, and makes it accessible. Not everybody can get on a plane and fly a few thousand miles to be a student, or on a specific night, be in a specific place at a specific time outside of their home. It's kind of tricky. So one of our themes in marketing and if you listen to a bunch of our calls, especially for instance along with Josh Aston, is reducing the barrier to new business, reducing the friction, making it easier for people to try you out, making it easier for people to figure who you are and what it is you have to offer. And these kind of virtual trainings, teleseminars, webinars, great way to go. Now, in a sense, there's nothing new about this. Teleseminars, for example, have been used by lots of people, including us way back. We might have been the first internet marketers to do teleseminars, believe it or not. It's hard to find anyone that was doing them any earlier. So in a way, this is not new, but what is new, I think, is the rigor and the specificity that Telor brings to webinars in particular. This is something that we've talked about before, but it's worth bringing up again. Why webinar versus teleseminar? Why? Because obviously, you know, teleseminar is fairly straightforward. You get, you know, either the expert speaks or there's an expert interview like this one. Pretty easy to produce. You just need a phone line, a pretty simple service, push record, and you've got content. If you want to add a little bit of complexity, you can have a live audience. But still, we're talking about pretty simple production effort. Webinar, more time, more money, more, quote, hassle. Why? Why would we do that? Now, why did you decide? Because you could go either way, right? You could do teleseminars as well.
Sure. Yep, absolutely. And that's a great question. And teleseminars probably are a little easier and quicker to put together. But what the point of the webinar is, and you brought up some great points about why, you know, you don't want to travel. Like for me now, I have a baby daughter now, and I don't want to travel. So webinars actually take it to the next level, too, because we pre-record our webinars. So before I get to that, I'll answer your question about what I think is the difference between webinars and teleseminars. Number one, I think webinars hit multiple senses, which is very important. So obviously a teleseminar is only hitting the auditory sense, where a webinar is hitting visual and auditory, and really the people are also glued to the computer, they're more engaged, you can use pictures to create more feelings, you're really reinforcing everything over and over in your presentation. So that's really important about webinars. And another thing that's really important that a lot of people don't realize is when you have a funnel, and one of the things that I talk about is having a rolling webinar launch, like a rolling webinar funnel, that you set up, because really for any type of product I've found in the price range of $200 to $2,000, $200 to $2,000 is really the sweet spot for teleseminars and webinars to do that. And if you're going to sell a product in that price range, you really want to be putting your best foot forward. If you're really looking to build a business and grow your business very quickly, you're going to be driving new traffic. And when you're driving new traffic, really conversion matters. You know, a 1% or 2% difference in conversion could mean the difference between you being able to continue to advertise and continue to build your email list and continue to build your business, as opposed to you having to stop advertising and your list stops growing, your business stops growing. So that's the difference, is that, yes, it's a little more work, but the beauty of it is you could pre-record it. So you do it on your own time. There's no the stress of having to do it at a set time or having to do a live webinar. The big webinars that we do are almost always pre-recorded because they just run nice and smooth and you don't have any kind of anxiety or anything about it. But really having that best foot forward, having that highest conversion that you could possibly get, and that's what the webinar is going to get you, 1% or 2% higher conversion, but on a $1,000 or $1,500 product, that makes a big difference, you know, as far as building your business and being able to continue to advertise. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So it's not, you know, if you're selling a $9.95 item, it may not make sense to produce a webinar. But if you're doing something that involves, you know, training or coaching or a pretty involved service, may make a lot of sense.
Yeah, usually, typically I tell people if you're going to sell anything for, you know, $100 or less, or even $197, probably up to $197, up to $200, you could probably do a sales video, which a sales video is pretty much essentially like a webinar replay almost, just a video up on the page. But if you want to do more than that, the webinar has also the feel of the set date and time. So that's what makes it like the next best thing to a live event, is that people are marking their calendar for Wednesday at 8 p.m. and they're sitting there the entire time. You know, they've set out an hour out of their schedule and they're sitting there glued to their computer watching your presentation. And also, as you spoke about kind of the ease, reducing the friction in the sale, what's important to note about webinars is people are going to order from their computer. So that's a difference. For example, with a teleseminar a couple of months ago, I was on a teleseminar, and I went and ordered food, ordered dinner, went, picked, left my house, picked it up, brought it back. Whereas a webinar, I would not have been able to do that. If it was a webinar on a topic that I was interested in, I would have been in front of my computer, glued to the computer the entire time. When the call to action came at the end of the webinar, when it was time for me to go order, I would have gone to that call to action, and if the offer was good enough, I probably would have bought. So I think that reducing the friction is another big thing there as well with webinars.
Well, another really important point that is easy to overlook about selling, about webinars, about sales letters, about teleseminars, whatever the format is, it's all the same. We're trying to sell. We're trying to put our best foot forward, as you said. We're trying to let people know about what we have to offer. And for those for whom it's right, if we've done a good job of explaining the value and they're able to buy, they'll buy.
I was going to say about with regards to, just to finish up what you were saying about the lower priced product and a sales video being like a webinar replay, another important point that I wanted to mention to people was webinar replays are nowhere near as effective as a live webinar. So that's the big difference that you really need to note there. If you put out a video and put it up on a page and say to people, hey, watch it whenever you want, unfortunately, it sounds crazy. And, you know, sometimes people like us who are really busy, that's what we want. We don't want to be stuck to a set date and time. We'd rather be able to watch it whenever we can. But unfortunately, people just don't really consume it. It's just not the same as when you have that live webinar. So that really, that live feel, and so an important tip too, I see a lot of people the day after the webinar, they just mail out the webinar replay. If your webinar is successful and it converts, instead of doing a webinar replay, hold an encore webinar. So an encore webinar will just be, let's say you do your first webinar Tuesday night, just hold an encore on Thursday night. And that's important because only 35% of the people, on average, will attend your first webinar. So that means 65% of the people that actually registered for your webinar, that signed up and showed interest, didn't even attend. So by holding an encore, you can scoop up a bunch of extra sales. So always hold an encore instead of just sending out a webinar replay right away. I think that's an important tip.
Great. So the difference, a replay means, hey, it's up there, you know, if you want to click on it at 3 a.m. on Tuesday or 5 p.m. on Thursday, whatever, just we'll play the whole thing back for you. But an encore is like a program. It's like, hey, we did this and we're going to do it again, but it's going to be at this time on this day, and that's it. So be there or be square, as they used to say. And you know, I remember the point I was trying to make, and it maybe helps tie this together, is, yes, make things easy for people makes a lot of sense in certain instances. But when you're in an actual sales situation, the most important thing, and this seems to be so obvious that most people will just wonder why I'm even bringing it up, but the most important thing is to have the attention, the undivided attention of the prospect. Because if they don't hear your message, if they're not mentally there, you could have the best copywriter in the world. You could have the best sales strategy in the world. You could have the best product in the world. But if they're not mentally there, it will be no sale. On the other hand, you know, if you're good enough, if the product's good enough, good match for the market, good presentation, and they pay attention and they hear the offer and they understand the offer, then you have a chance to make a sale. And by kind of revealing the webinar in this format, in other words, it's going to be screened at a particular time, you know, on a particular day. So you have to stop whatever you're doing and be there. You're going to get a much higher level of involvement and attention. Going back to the old direct mail days, there were all these kind of silly things in direct mail that used to work really well. Like, for instance, you'd get like decals in the mail, and it would say, hey, you know, if you want to buy this, take the green decal and put it on the order form. If you don't want to buy it, take the red one and put it on the order form so that we won't mail to you anymore. And if you're not sure, take the yellow decal and put it on the order form so that we'll mail to you again. Now, you may say, that's absurd. But only a child would even waste time doing that. Well, maybe, but that simple involvement device, which involvement causes people to pay attention, that simple involvement device always just maybe too strong, but, you know, very, very, very often increased response. Why? Was it a great headline? No. Was it some amazing offer? No. Was it some NLP sales technique of incredible psychic power? No. It just simply got people to pay attention. And if people aren't paying attention to the offer, they'll never buy. So this very simple thing about how you frame and present the webinar is not so simple after all. Luckily, it's simple to execute. There's nothing hard about any of this. But it has a lot of power in spite of its seeming simplicity. Hey, let's talk about the technical aspects. I know you're not a technical guy, but how do we run a webinar in such a way that it only goes off at a certain time, and then and only then?
Sure. So there's a couple ways to do that. We like playing our webinars through GoToWebinar because GoToWebinar is the most familiar webinar company, the most trusted source. So that's who we use. Now, with GoToWebinar, it's not like you may have seen. There's a few people popping up that have like these automated webinar playback systems. So GoToWebinar, you can't do that. So it's a little bit different. With GoToWebinar, though, if you're getting big numbers on your webinars, if you're getting hundreds of people attending your webinar, then you may want to use GoToWebinar and have a real AV person who basically plays back your pre-recorded webinars. So that's what I do. We use GoToWebinar. I pre-record my webinar ahead of time, and then I have an AV person who does this for many different speakers. That's pretty much all he does is webinars and recording webinars and playing them back. And he basically just plays it back for me through my GoToWebinar account as if it's live. And really, people can't tell the difference. I don't say that it's live. I don't claim that it's live. I just invite people to a free content-packed webinar. And then after the first one, we'll do an encore probably a couple days later, and they'll be invited to that one. And I don't even have to physically be there. I'm typically out at dinner or you know, doing something else while these webinars are playing. Now, that is a little bit more expensive, so that's why I say you want to at least have a few hundred people, or if you're getting 1,000 people registered for a webinar, if you have that kind of a list already, or even just a few hundred at least, then you probably want to go that route because it is the best route. Using GoToWebinar looks the cleanest. People, it's the most trusted source. It looks and feels like a real live event the most. If you are not, if you're just kind of starting out and you want to implement, then you can use one of these automated webinar playback systems. And these systems allow you also to pre-record your webinar, and these are much cheaper. Some of them are only like 100 or 150 bucks a month or something like that, and you can do as many webinar playbacks as you want. And you can pre-record your webinar and upload it into the system and say, play my webinar every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. or you know, something like that, and it'll just play it automatically. And they do a really good job of doing their best to make it seem like a live webinar, but it's not quite as good as the real GoToWebinar, but it's a good second option if you're just starting out.
Gotcha. Related to using GoToWebinar, there's an advantage to that too. The fact that it's familiar to people, and that odds are if somebody is a webinar user, they've used GoToWebinar at least a few times, if not many times. You found that on the sign-up portion of the sales sequence, in other words, you send out an email, you try to get people interested in the topic and what you're going to be covering. The next step is to get them to click the link to get to the registration page. And this is a very sort of moment of truth. You know, will they register or won't they? If they do register, you've got something that you can, you know, use again, you know, for instance, to remind them to come to the webinar. You've got also a chance to follow up with them, to come to any encores that there might be, and maybe even just to follow up with them about other things. So getting that registration is a big deal. So I know you've done a lot of testing, and you've tested, you know, I'm sure all kinds of ad copy and all kinds of graphic layouts, but you discovered something very surprising, or maybe not so surprising now in retrospect, but what turns out to produce the best registration for webinars?
Yeah, it's the standard GoToWebinar registration page. So, you know, I see people sometimes try to create their own, you know, fancy-looking, webinar registration page or something like that. But what we found is that because people are familiar with GoToWebinar, they know GoToWebinar, that the standard GoToWebinar sign-up pages that are generated through the system are getting the highest sign-up rates. Now, ad copy does matter a little bit. I want to tell you a trick about the ad copy as well. I've actually seen this mistake. I've seen both these mistakes made and cost people hundreds of thousands of dollars on big launches and promotions. The first mistake was trying to have their own sign-up page instead of just using the GoToWebinar sign-up page. That really hurt their conversion. And another thing was trying to have really long copy. on the webinar sign-up page. Had a really low conversion. So don't make it too long. Actually, short is good. I would recommend a headline, maybe one or two sentences and three or four bullets, and then, you know, enter your info below to register now. So, you know, real short and simple and sweet will get you the highest sign-up rate on that as well. So, you know, you take these two things combined, using your own webinar sign-up page and not keeping the copy on it short and sweet and to the point, and you could really have been losing. You could have doubled your conversion. So I've seen people on launches that had a 22% conversion rate on their GoToWebinar sign-up page when they could have had a 50% conversion rate on their sign-up page. And that probably would have meant that they would have done a couple $100,000 more in sales. So these little things are really, really important. And, those are the kind of things that when you say, you know, I look at it as like a science, those are the little things that a lot of people really miss out on. The email copy to get people on the webinars, the webinar sign-up page, and then, you know, the whole process.
You know, there's a myth that long ad copy is always better ad copy. And it really is a myth. Ad copy needs to be only as long as it needs to be to get the job done. So, you know, if the job is to get, you know, a very expensive product or service sold and your only way to sell it is through ad copy, well, then you're probably going to want to write as long a letter as, you know, you need to. Maybe, you know, it could be 8 pages, 16 pages, it could be 64 pages, whatever it takes to get the job done. That's the key phrase there, whatever it takes to get the job done. If all you're trying to do is get someone to register, yeah, I mean, you're probably hurting the sale by asking them to jump through a lot of hoops. And surprisingly, apparently, according to Laura's experience, that it makes sense, you're hurting the sale by having, you know, a fancy registration page. Claude Hopkins wrote about this, see, it's getting on nearly 100 years ago, that people are suspicious of sales presentations that are too fine, he used to call it. Well, the default registration page for GoToWebinar, no one's going to accuse it of being too fine. You know, it's just sort of what it is, you know. Now let me look at this whole sales process, though, because I have a question. When somebody ends up at the registration page, they've already read some ad copy somewhere, either in an email or on a web page. So there is, obviously, there's some, that's why they clicked on the link in the first place. So further back in the sales chain, so to speak, there is a sale going on, you know, catching their attention, getting them interested, and persuading them to click on the link to the registration page. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Sure, yes. I'm glad this came up, and I want to talk about two different ways and two different types of traffic, really. So basically, in all the webinars that we've done, it's either two different types of webinars. One is a JV webinar, so a joint venture partner that's doing a webinar selling our product, or we're selling their product, or it's cold traffic. So it's cold traffic meaning coming from Google AdWords or Facebook or wherever, anywhere else where they just see your ad and they don't know you, they just see your ad and click on your ad. So that's cold traffic. The JV traffic is warmer traffic. It's much warmer traffic because the emails, and of course you have pre-written email copy that you give to your joint venture partners that will warm them up and introduce you to their list. So you're getting an endorsement from the owner of the list, who the people on the list typically will respect and trust that person. So that makes it much, much warmer. So with JV traffic, with joint venture partners, when we're doing a webinar, we always have the joint venture partners just mail straight to the webinar sign-up page. So in that case, it would just be an email. The JV partner would probably just introduce me and say a little bit about me or what it is that I'm going to cover or teach on the webinar. But again, I also recommend even the emails. You know, you don't want to reveal, there's kind of a balance there. You know, you don't want to just have it be a two-line email, but you also don't want to write a whole long story or try to talk about what you're actually going to teach in the webinar. You can give bullets about but you don't want to really try to explain stuff. But so for joint venture partners, mailing straight to the webinar sign-up page because there's warmer and there's an endorsement. For the cold traffic, we do what's the rolling webinar funnel, the rolling webinar launch. So they come in, and what we do is we don't try to register them for a webinar right away. So I don't send someone from my Google ad, clicking on the ad, to a webinar sign-up page. I've tested that, and the conversion is very low. So what's better is to have someone go from the cold traffic to a regular squeeze page, landing page first, that has a has a pretty good conversion. Get them to opt into your email list and give them some content. And then the next day, give them some more content and then start inviting them. So I kind of have a little thing. I just call it content, content, webinar invite, webinar invite. So when someone comes onto your list from cold traffic, they're entering their email, you're warming them up with a free video or whatever kind of content you're giving, and then the next day you give them more free content, warm them up even more, and then you invite them to the content pack webinar. So that's what we do. We have a webinar typically every week for the new leads that come in from the cold traffic, from the advertising that we're doing. And that's how we were able to, in the real estate niche, build an email list of over 50,000 people in 1 year, because the webinars converted so well on our product, which was selling for $12.97, was the price point. So because it was converting well enough, it was paying back, we were making back the money we were spending on advertising. We were running a webinar every 4 or 5 days because we were spending a lot of money on advertising. So every 4 or 5 days, we'd make back everything we spent, and sometimes even more. So it was working out where the webinars were converting so well that we were able to, keep raising the budget and keep bringing new leads in. So that was kind of the model, and that's the two different structures of for cold traffic versus joint venture traffic.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, makes perfect sense. So, in the one hand there, if it's coming from a JV source, the person's already warmed up and they're ready to go based on the relationship and reputation of the person endorsing it. If someone's coming in cold, you have to face the fact that they're coming in cold. You have to do more work so that when they arrive on that registration page, they're primed and ready to go. But you found in both cases, it didn't pay to have customized registration forms or, a lot of fancy graphics or a lot of, customized look, that just the plain facts. Here's a registration form, fill it out, let's get going.
Exactly, yep.
We always talk about how important the direct marketing model is for internet marketing, and that even though internet marketing is relatively new and sort of technologically advanced, the people that tend to do very well in internet marketing are people that either know or accidentally have rediscovered the principles of classic mail order marketing. And if you look at mail order marketing, it's pretty unfancy. The order forms are pretty straightforward. There's a lot of thought about how to get the customer into the right frame of mind by the time they get to the order form. But when you actually get to the order form itself, it's pretty, in the mail order world, it's pretty streamlined and pretty simple. So it makes sense that principle that worked for, over 100 years and still works in direct mail and in magazine ads would apply to the internet too. So a lot of counterintuitive stuff here. There's a lot of stuff that, you might have been tempted to, or you might have even been advised to do things in a lot more expensive or elaborate way, and it turns out you don't need to. So one of the things that Talor mentioned earlier on that could have been overlooked is the fact that instead of, going from, Holiday Inn to Holiday Inn or Westin Hotel to Westin Hotel, or as the case may be, you're staying at home and the presentation is automated. This is not only less hassle, it also frees you up so that you're doing things that are productive as opposed to doing the same thing over and over again. I just want to get the quiver out of my voice.
This is another reason why the pre-recorded webinars are so good. You see, you pre-record them ahead of time. You have the guy edit them ahead of time. And, it really is that peace of mind, though, Ken, because what happens is, when we have that weekly webinar, we use the same webinar, I think, for one time at least 3 months. So, we had new people coming in. We were adding, over 1,000 people a week to our list at one point and having those people onto webinars. And I wasn't really doing anything new. The funnel was set up. We had the autoresponder sequence set up. They're being invited to the weekly webinar. They're getting free content, to warm them up. This is for the cold traffic. And there really wasn't nothing much else to do. So it really is that peace of mind and that, the freedom, and it kind of frees you up to do so many other things. And that's what I think is really great about it also, the freedom to do what you want to do when you want to do it, and still have knowing that it's not just it's your best foot forward. It's like you probably couldn't do better than that you know, if you tried. You know, that's you're recording it. When you pre-record your webinars, you do it when you're feeling your best. If you can edit it if you want, you always know that you have your best foot forward, and you don't have to do it over and over and over. When I first started doing teleseminars, I did the same teleseminar pretty much every Wednesday night for, you know, almost a year. By the end of the year, I could barely bring myself to do the teleseminar anymore. You know, I just couldn't even do it anymore. So this, I wish I had this webinar system back then when I first started out. Would have really helped me out a lot. It's just really a great thing.
There's a really important lesson there because, you know, when you start something out new, or maybe it's not new to you, but you're presenting it for the first time to the public and it's new, there's a lot of excitement, a lot of natural enthusiasm. And I don't care who you are, at a certain point, that's going to wane. And so the idea of getting something packaged when it's at its peak and, you know, getting it just right and then repeating it over and over again in an automated way, you know, not personally having to deliver it. And let's face it, isn't that really what direct marketing is about? It's about taking things that work in a one-on-one sales context, polishing them, making them as strong as possible, and then automating the delivery. So here's something that we know works. We know live selling works. We know that teleseminars work. We know that webinars work. And we're taking all those facts and configuring them in such a way as to create, you know, really maximum efficiency. And as a business owner, it makes sense, I think, to do a fair amount of live stuff, especially when you're doing, let's say, a new product or you're entering a new aspect of the market. I think it just makes sense to, you know, be in front of people, whether it's in a live situation or via telephone, because you get some feedback. But once you figure out what works, then you really should stop and you really should sort of can, you know, your presentation and get it perfect or as close to perfect as you can make it, and then automate the delivery. There's really, you know, once you've done that preliminary getting feeling out the market and getting to know, you know, what people respond to, there's just no further profit in personally delivering it. If you are going to personally deliver something, it should be the relationships that you're forming with JV partners. And as Talor knows, and as everybody who's done this kind of thing knows, those are pretty labor intensive and time intensive, and this fairly big investment, especially when if you're unknown and just getting started, into getting people to be willing to promote you and to be willing to endorse you and work with you. And that is highly profitable time well spent. Repeating the same material over and over again is not a terribly good use of your time. Excuse me. So this puts you in a much better position, and you know it doesn't affect the quality. In fact, you're by canning your absolute best version, it actually probably improves your quality because you know we were talking about earlier. It's just hard to do the same show over and over and over again and maintain the enthusiasm for it.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. And just to add a couple of things on that. Number one is that you're putting your best foot forward. And why that's important is you may not realize this, but we've seen the same presentation done on different nights and have, you know, half the closing rate on one night as it did on another night. And it's just because the person was off that night. The person was not high energy, wasn't feeling good, you know, didn't sleep much the night before, whatever it is. So, you know, the power of having your best foot forward shouldn't go and pre-recording your webinar is really a benefit. It doesn't only help you free up your time, but it actually really will make a difference in your conversion. And with regards to joint venture partners, that's really important because when you're just starting out, and this is a big thing that I talk about with regards to webinars and why they are so powerful, is just starting out, the big joint venture partners, they want to know that you have some sort of proven conversion stats or that you've done this presentation before. And a webinar is a great way to provide content to their list. And also, if you have a webinar that's converted already with someone else, then you can approach another joint venture partner and say, hey, this webinar converted with such and such. You might know him or her. You might know them. And it converted, you know, we had 200 people on the line and we made this many sales. So, you know, we'd probably be able to do even more on with your list or whatever the case may be. The point is now you're coming to them with some proven stats. Now you're not just, you know, big joint venture partners get approached on a daily or weekly basis for people to just say, you know, hey, promote my stuff or would you do this? Or, you know, people trying to approach them all the time. So to have a, you know, really separate yourself, have a good product, have a good presentation, a content-packed webinar, and if it converts, now you're talking, now you're saying stuff they want to hear, and now you're going to be able to do Toy Adventures with these people much, much quicker than you ever could have any other way that I know of.
Gotcha, absolutely. If you're unknown, your results need to be known and demonstrable. Also, by having a consistent presentation, it takes some of the guesswork and even doubt out of the results. So, for instance, if you have a presentation and it yields a certain percentage of orders, and then you take that presentation and you present it in another context, and the response is less, it tells you. Now, if you were doing it live, you'd think, well, gee, was I on? Was I off? What happened? What did I do wrong? Well, if you've got a consistent presentation or the same presentation over and over again, you know it wasn't the presentation, it was the audience. It just helps you assess, what's really going on. Because if you're doing it live, if you're doing everything one off, you've got to say, well, gee, was it the audience or maybe it was me? Maybe it was me that night. So this just gives more clarity to the responses that you're getting from your marketing. Now,
absolutely.
This works. This particular, when we're talking about webinars, we're pretty much, we're talking about high ticket items. Just the economics just wouldn't probably make sense for, low ticket items. And we're looking for things that have pretty high margins. So we're talking about training largely. Most of your experience with this has been selling training and coaching programs. Is that right?
Yes. Most has been training, coaching. Most of the time, here's a real simple model that's sold on webinars. Typically, you have a good product, so whether that consists of online training modules or DVDs or CDs, whatever it is, typically, in the real estate niche, we typically like to give people a binder, a book, so they can, read and follow along the manual, some DVDs and CDs and forms, discs, and things like that they'll need, and then we also give them training calls. So once they buy off of the selling webinar, and then they get enrolled into, typically we do 6 or 8, actually for this new program we're doing 12 live calls on webinar, where people actually get on the webinars, and those are just training webinars, no selling is done. So, that's a typical example of a $1,000 program is you give someone 6 or 8 training calls plus a program, plus some, support and things like that. And those kind of programs are what's really, what I've seen, very, very prevalent selling on webinars.
Well, I've noticed my old place where I used to live, San Francisco, the University of San Francisco, has gotten really big into doing internet marketing training, believe it or not, and it's all delivered via webinar. And so, not only is this a good marketing vehicle, it's also a great training vehicle as well. And this is, again, I think this, we were talking earlier about, not traveling. It's not just the presenters that would like to not travel. It's also the attendees who'd like to not travel, who'd like to study at home, who'd like to get access to really high-quality training that maybe is not in their area. I don't want to single out any particular states, but, if I were in Arkansas, I'm not sure that there's anywhere I would be able to go to get, world-class internet marketing training. Who's doing it? Is there anybody doing it? So anybody, no matter where they lived on the planet, whether they're in a big city or a small town or way out in the country or in a, very rich state, let's say, well, California used to be rich. I don't know how we call it now, but a rich state versus a less rich state, a big country versus a small country. If you're dependent on who you can reach live to get your education, you might luck out or you might not luck out at all. Whereas thanks to all this new technology, I think this is one of the great benefits of all this stuff, is that basically if somebody can afford a phone line or in this case an internet connection, they can have access to the absolute best education available anywhere, regardless of where they live. And that's a really big jump in evolution. Now, in the real estate arena, I'm wondering, are most of your customers U.S. citizens or U.S. residents? Or are you, real estate's so specific.
We pretty much only market in the U.S. And one more thing, just to further the last thing you said, Ken, you made a really good point, but it's not just about the quality. There's even more to it. In the real estate niche, it's more about just the quality of life for us and for our people. We actually didn't have a choice. The speaking circuit a few years ago in the real estate niche just completely dried up. also. So this is when I started doing a lot more joint venture webinars with other people who typically for years throughout the whole real estate boom were stage speakers. But then the stage speaking circuit just completely dried up around, I don't know, let's say 2007, 2008, where, you know, you could barely make a real – some people still make a business, but it's very few and far between the real estate speakers that make a business just off of, you know, the speaking circuit. So, you know, it was pretty much get on webinars or get left behind in the real estate niche. So that's, you know, that's another thing is from a business perspective, too, it's very important.
Gotcha. And you know, all businesses, all markets have phases where something will be just red hot and super popular and it's working like gangbusters. And next thing you know, boom, it's over. People aren't going there anymore. And, you know, you can bang your head against the wall or you can adapt. You know, let's face it, there are great advantages to live events. And it's why it was the one last thread that made me reluctant to make System 2011 the last big event that I put on, is that there is definitely a magic that takes place when you get several hundred people together who are serious-minded and all focused on the same topic, and you have great speakers and you have, you know, great experts, and that attracts a great audience, and you just get an amazing synergy that is really, you know, really hard to beat. And that's why I love the live events. But every time we do a live event, I have to always think about the people that can't make it for whatever reason. Maybe they live too far away, or the expense is too great to make the trip, or the training is just outside their budget, or it's just the hassle factor is just too large. I've had especially a lot of overseas customers tell me, you know, I'd love to come, but, you know, getting in out of the U.S. these days is not any fun, so I'm just going to stay home. So live events, you know, awesome, great things to do. In our case, still very financially sound. You know, it works. But it's also a lot of work to put on, which is why System 2011 will be the last big event that I personally put on in the internet marketing arena. And that will be, by the way, April 15th through April 17th, and it's going to be in New York City at the Jersey City Westin, right across the Hudson River from Manhattan. Best place to fly in if you're flying in is through Newark. You just heard from Talor talking about his experience. It's really, I think, a really interesting experience in business altogether. It's amazing he's done so many different things before turning 30. He's going to talk more about this whole world of you know, selling and providing services and training virtually with a focus on webinars. This is the wave of the future. Yeah, live events are great. You can't beat them, but, you know, you might be in an industry where they're falling out, or you just may be in a position where you just don't want to go through the hassle of putting them on, or you just want to be in the position of reaching as many people as possible. My business model for the system, quite frankly, was I wasn't trying to reach the world. I was trying to reach that small handful of people that are serious about internet marketing and that really are into it and understand who the real players are and what the, you know, the real benefits are of it, you know, and get it. And, you know, they don't have stars in their eyes. They're practitioners. They have businesses, sometimes very successful businesses, and they want the absolute cutting edge stuff, and they're willing to pay for it. That was my model, and it was a great model, and I enjoyed it. And it, you know, I'm gonna, you know, I've got mixed feelings about 2011 being the last one, but as I'm getting a little older, I'm thinking, you know, I'd probably really be happier, you know, not putting these events on, but also reaching more people. And this is something I haven't talked about much, and this is probably the first call where I have talked about it at all. My focus from now on is going to be on virtual training. I might have a few high-end, small meetings, you know, easy to run, no big hassle on our end. But I'm going to do actually more training now than ever, and I want to reach more people than ever. And the way to do that is via virtual, you know, virtual communication, obviously. And I find as a small business, I can't do both. But, you know, we're a micro business. We don't make micro money. We do pretty well, but you know, it's basically me and an assistant, believe it or not. That's the whole system seminar and all my colleagues who come out every year and are willing to teach. Hard for a business of that size to do, you know, the scale of events that we've been doing for the last 9 years, plus run a whole virtual education wing. And so I've decided, you know, I made my decision. I'm going to go more with trying to reach more people at, you know, more accessible price points rather than a handful of people or a few hundred people a year at a super high price point. But there are people listening to this call who would definitely benefit tremendously from being immersed in the system seminar environment. If you've already got an ongoing internet marketing business and you're making, you know, even a lot of money, I guarantee this will be one of the better events that you go to in your career. We just did a recording with Josh Aston, who generates enough online leads for his company to keep 700 people employed. And he just flat out said the System Seminar is the best educational space in the whole internet marketing arena. And this is a guy that's been around for years, knows everybody, has to go to all the events because of the nature of the business he's in. He wasn't shy about just coming out and saying that we, on the education side, we do it better than anybody. So if you're interested in internet marketing, if you're serious about it, if you are super experienced, you're going to get a lot from it. If you're someone that's looking for experience and looking to connect with experienced people, this could easily be one of the most important things you ever do in your internet marketing career, which is get with the guys who come to our event every year. So, Talora, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us and to come to New York and back to your hometown and teach people about you know, new ways to market education and new ways to deliver it.
Thank you, Ken. I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to putting on my best presentation ever at the System Seminar and going in a lot more detail and pretty much just being a total open book and giving as much as I could possibly give away in my time up on stage there. So I'm excited about it. I'm thrilled and honored to be a speaker, and I hope everyone can join us and see us there.
Okay, great. Well, see you, and I'll see everybody in New York April 15th through 17th, 2011, the last big System Seminar.